Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. This episode's album is Gets a Go-Go by the New Stan Getz Quartet featuring Astrid Gilberto. This is a 1964 release on Verve, catalog number V68600.
So this album comes from my collection of Bossa Nova records, and particularly my collection of Stan Getz's Bossa Nova era records. And this record I first heard before I was married. My roommate at the time had this album and played it on his stereo. And I think that this was one of the albums that first sort of really struck me, because his copy of the album was in much better shape than ours and had a really live sort of presence to it. And listening to it on his stereo, it sort of really gave you the feeling that you were there listening to the concert. And so I think it was really something special. And I think it was an album that we both really enjoyed. And I think it's hard for me to remember the specific details, but I think I had, you know, been into Sergio Mendes sort of through my easy listening interests in my A&M collecting. But I think this is what really got me to pursue the Brazilian Bossa Nova artists. So Flissy, do you want to tell us a little bit about this album, what it looks like?
Sure. So this copy that we have has got sort of a glossy cover. It's blue and black. And it has on the front cover a photo of Stan Getz playing the saxophone in a dimly lit cafe. And then on the inside, it's like this booklet kind of deal. So
a gatefold album, right?
What's it called?
A gatefold.
Oh, yeah, it's that exactly. So you open it up. And then on the inside is this big picture of Stan Getz and Antonio Carlos Jobim and Astrid Gilberto, which I find a little curious because Tom Jobim is not on this album, but it's like the caption says Tom Jobim sitting in on this recording. I'm like,
yeah, I think it must have been a picture from the Getz Gilberto session.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then in addition to that, there's a brief bio of all the musicians that are featured on the record.
All right. And on the back?
It continues sort of that blue and black block wraps around to the back of the sleeve, and it has a track listing. So backside's kind of minimalist. All the liner notes that you usually see on the back of the record cover are inside on this one.
All right. So do we want to get right to our first clip?
Yeah, what you got for us today?
So my pick for this is Corcovado, which is also known by its English title, Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars. This is a Tom Jobim tune, and the English lyrics are written by Gene Lees. So let's take a listen.
One, two, three, four.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from my guitar. Floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams. Quiet walks by quiet streams. And a window that looks out on Corcovado. Oh, how lovely. Quero a vida sempre assim. Com você perto de mim. Até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste, descrente desse mundo. Ao encontrar você eu conheci. O que é felicidade, meu amor?
I love this song, and I think this version, Astrid's singing is just so sweet and delightful, and this is probably among the best of the Getz Gilberto collaborations. This one's on the original Getz Gilberto album too.
One of the things that I'd really like to do is listen to all different versions of a song and sort of compare them to sort of understand the essence of that song and understand it better through different people's interpretations of it. And this is one of the first Brazilian songs that I really did that with, trying to collect different versions and, you know, listen to how different people interpret it. And yeah, I really like Astrid singing on this. I think there's something about Brazilian women singing in English, which is really charming. I think you can also hear that in some Wanda Sá albums, and also in Ana Maria Val singing with Makash Val, in, for example, the Samba 68. And it's just, you know, it's just really sort of endearing, I think.
Totally agree with you on that one. And yeah, thinking about the Corcovado listen off we had some time ago, I think that Astrid singing this song is, it's the best. It's the quintessential Corcovado. I'd have to do a re-listen, a showdown between this version of Corcovado and the one on the Getz Gilberto album. It'd probably be pretty close. And I do like the natural sound of this one, where you really get the feeling of being in an intimate audience, and I don't think that you get that so much on the other Getz Gilberto album.
Yeah, I think that they did a really good job recording this session, although it actually turns out that it's sort of a mashup of two sessions. So I guess I should give you a little bit of history about this whole album, and, you know, sort of the whole Stan Getz bossa nova era. So I guess it started when Stan Getz was on a tour of Europe in the spring of 1961, and Charlie Bird, I guess, was on a diplomatic trip to with the State Department to South America, and I guess he had been previously introduced to some Brazilian music through, I think a DJ, a record producer friend of his, and when he came back, he ran into Stan Getz at, a show or, at some venue. And so he was telling him about his trip, and he invited him over to listen to some Tom Jobim and João Gilberto records that he had brought back with him. And so Stan Getz really got excited about it, and so he convinced Charlie Bird and Creed Taylor at Verve to make a record in the bossa nova style. But as they found out, the task actually proved to be fairly difficult, and so it took them a couple sessions to actually get it to their satisfaction. I think
you can hear that. I mean,
yeah,
we'll get into this more, but Stan Getz, he just doesn't get bossa nova.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely come a long way, and I think that the Getz A Go Go is sort of the pinnacle of his bossa nova records. But yeah, definitely his early, his early albums, which was his session with Charlie Bird, was came out in February 1962, and that was Jazz Samba, but that actually did ultimately reach number one, and it really set off the American bossa nova craze. And so Stan Getz was quick to capitalize on that, and he followed up in August of 1962 with Big Band Bossa Nova, with the composer, arranger, and vibraphonist Gary McFarland. And then in February 1963, he had Jazz Samba Encore with Luiz Bonfa. So starting to get some actual bona fides by bringing in some Brazilian artists. And then quickly followed that up in March of 1963 with the album Stan Getz with guest artist Lorindo Almeida. And then in March 1963, he also recorded Getz Gilberto, but that wasn't released until March 1964. And then, after that came out, 2 months later, Stan Getz recorded the Stan Getz A Go Go at the Cafe A Go Go in Greenwich Village on August 19th, 1964. And then actually half of the album is recorded on October 9th, 1964 at Carnegie Hall, which then, more tracks from that session were released as Getz Gilberto number 2. And so he ultimately did, 7 albums in the bossa nova style. And then He ultimately did come back to it in May of 1975 for the album The Best of Two Worlds, where he would be reunited with João Gilberto, but instead of Astrid, who João had divorced at this point, he was with Heloísa Barque de Holanda, which her was also known as Meucha as her performance name, and she's the sister of Chico Barque, and she was also the wife of João at that point, and ended up being the... they would have Bebel Gilberto together, who is a pretty great artist in her own right. So
I think it's kind of interesting, this American jazz artist into Brazilian music exchange that happened. But I'm grateful for that, because, you know, that was maybe the only way that bossa nova music would have been introduced in the U.S. And I think it's, you know, bossa nova also follows the same interesting timeline as our favorite easy listening music from the late 1950s to the early 1960s. Like, that's kind of the living in hi-fi sweet spot. And that's, you know, there's a parallel there between the easy listening music in the U.S. and the bossa nova music in Brazil. Like, that same time period had this, there, even though, like, the countries, like, we had our own sort of post-war, like, you know, sort of cultural optimism for different reasons in different countries, but the zeitgeist was really similar, and the music ended up being kind of similar, I think.
Brazil had been run by sort of a military dictatorship for several decades, and I guess during the mid-50s, they finally had sort of the first democratically elected government, and so I think there was a lot of optimism that manifested in a lot of artistic and creative output that coincided with a real period of economic prosperity in Brazil. And unfortunately, I guess in the sort of mid-60s, the democratically elected government was then re-overthrown by the military government. And so music really took a shift at that point into sort of more protest music. And the government at the time had really cracked down on speaking out against the government. And so a lot of the music sort of started to use more coded language. And a lot of people got sort of exiled from the country for many years. And I'm sure we'll get into that in a different episode, but I think that this is sort of at the pinnacle of, you know, I mean, it's sort of at the end of the bossa nova era in Brazil, but the bossa nova just sort of transitioned right into America. And I think it was really sort of demonstrated the optimism that was sort of present in the music of that time.
So should we get into some more music?
Yeah, let's take a listen to your clip. What did you pick?
I picked another bossa nova classic, the One Note Samba.
So again, this song is by Tom Jobim. So let's take a listen.
Eis aqui este sambinha, feito numa nota só. Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quanta gente existe por aí que fala tanto e não diz nada, quase nada. Já me utilizei de toda a escada, no final não sobrou nada, não deu em nada, e voltei pra minha nota, como eu volto pra você. Vou contar com a minha nota, como eu gosto de você. E quem quer todas as notas, é me faça um lá se dó. Fica sempre sem nenhuma, fique numa nota só. Thank you.
did you think?
So I picked this song sort of with some conflicting feelings about it. And I have many conflicting feelings about this whole album, actually. But as usual, Astrid's voice is just like so sweet and so gentle for the first part of this song. And, you know, it's a Tom Jobim song, so it's just like embodies that ease of bossa nova. And then like halfway through, sure enough, Stan Getz comes like all barging in with his saxophone. Like, Stan Getz, you missed the boat on the bossa nova. That doesn't happen. It's like, why?
Yeah, I feel like it's a real shame. I mean, this, I think, is as good as it gets with Stan Getz. I mean, at this point, I think he's starting to finally get the, like, a sort of a bit of a deeper understanding, but he still doesn't quite get there. And, I mean, it doesn't really work, but it still does. I think it is effective as sort of a joining of what was going on in American jazz at that time with bossa nova. And so it does make it sort of accessible to, I think, both audiences.
Agreed. And there are moments in this track where Stan Getz's saxophone playing and Astrid's voice do play off each other nicely. And at the end, like, she kind of gives a little bit more energy to her singing, and Stan Getz gives a little bit more volume to his sax playing. And so it, you know, there are moments where it works, but where he like barges in halfway through, I'm like, that is just, no.
Yeah. I think another thing that's nice about this album, and it's sort of demonstrated by this clip, is that Astrid, I think, is coming into her own here. I mean, the Getz-Gilberto collaboration was supposedly the first time she had sung outside of her home. And I think you can sort of sense some of the nervousness and timidity in her vocals. And I think that was probably also exacerbated by the fact that her marriage with Zhao was on the rocks at that point. And I guess by this album, you know, that happened about a year later, they had divorced, I think. And so I think that she just has a lot more relaxation and ease to her voice. And I think it really sort of shows what was to come in, you know, her solo albums on Verve.
Agreed. However, I'll make one amendment to what you just said. Like, I feel like this thing about like, oh, like Astrid, she was just a housewife and then she came out of nowhere. But in interviews, she has, you know, denied that. Like, you know, she was in the circle of Brazilian musicians for, you know, many years. And though it was like house concerts situation where like all the musicians would be all together and jamming and learning and working with each other, and they would be, you know, performing with each other within each other's homes. And Astrid was, you know, an engaged participant in all that. Like, she was singing and involved with the music scene in Brazil, and then like somehow that was just erased, and they're like, oh, she's just a housewife. And so I just want to, you know, correct that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of their singing was in English though when they were in Brazil.
Oh, well, that's true.
Portuguese. Yeah,
because I think like Wanda Sá, like, she didn't speak any English, and her like when she's singing in English, like, I think somebody wrote out, you know, phonetically what it was that she was supposed to be singing.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a chance to play one of her albums. I would really like to talk about it. Maybe we could do the sort of the Wanda Sá with the Brazil 65 album. I forget what that one is called, but
anyway, so what do you think about this album in whole?
I love this album, even though it sort of isn't fully realized as a bossa nova album. I think it is sort of the pinnacle of the, you know, the combination of American jazz with bossa nova. I mean, it's slightly less well known than the Getz-Gilberto album, which maybe is a better album overall. But like I said, I think that this is sort of little bit more refined, and I just love the actual recording. It just makes you, it sort of transports you to the Cafe Agogo in Greenwich Village, and it just sort of, you know, you just feel like you're there, and it's just, I think, very wonderful concert and very great recording.
Yeah, when I first heard this album, I preferred it over Getz Gilberto, the original, for that reason that it has this really warm, intimate quality about it. You really feel like you're part of a live performance. And I feel like I loved this album more before I knew a lot more bossa nova music. And now that I'm familiar with more bossa nova music, I'm like, Stan Getz, like, he's kind of ruining it. But on the other hand, like, it also has this cool bridge between jazz and bossa nova. So if you are super in love with bossa nova, like the Living in Hi-Fi crew is, then I think this is a good jazz album for you. And if you're super into American jazz, in particular cool jazz, then I think you'll really appreciate this introduction to bossa nova. And there are some, like, I feel like the Summertime track that's on here is a really nice showcase of Stan Getz's playing that just features his playing and features the quartet really nicely. And he's not ruining anything there. Like, it's just legitimate. It's, like, really good. It's a beautiful example of some really sweet American jazz. And, you know, the more jazz-oriented tracks on here are great. And the bossa nova tracks are great, too. So, you know, it has a really interesting balance. And I think it's it could be a really widely enjoyed album.
Yeah, I think that the American pieces on this album, like Summertime, are the most effective examples of American songs being played in the bossa nova style. I mean, many other artists sort of tried to get in on this bossa nova craze, and I'm sure we could have a podcast just about the bossa nova crossover into America. But, you know, I think the only person who may have done the Brazilian songs better, like with an American, you know, as a crossover with American musicians, is Herbie Mann. But, you know, a lot of other American artists definitely tried to do the American pieces in a bossa nova style and did it much worse. I think, you know, Miles Davis tried it, Quincy Jones tried it, and, you know, Stan Getz with a myriad of other artists tried it. And I think that definitely this one is the most successful.
Yeah, but, you know, I really love Quincy Jones's, like, really boisterous versions of bossa nova.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bossa nova at all. It's something else.
But it's like a different, it's, I don't know what it is, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to learn more about Stan Getz and the bossa nova, you can go to our website and see our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/8. And you can follow us or contact us on Twitter at Living in Hi-Fi, or send us email to feedback@livinginhifi.com, or you become a fan of our Facebook page at facebook.com/livinginhifi. And stay tuned for next week when we see if we can find something that's been lost.
Thanks so much for listening.
All right, bye-bye.